Semantic interpretation of your query to be literal. I have thoughts about the novel, but first I'd like to unpack the epistemology of the word thought.
No doubt about it. Semantic fiction is a runaway success.
Yeah, and you too can be dancing with Daddy G every Tuesday afternoon from 2 to 4 p.m. at the Malt Shop, right here on WHFR.FM. The jukebox will be spinning the platters from the 50s and the 60s. So hang those fuzzy dice on the rearview mirror, grab your favorite squeeze, and join me, Daddy G, at the Malt Shop on Tuesdays from 2 to 4 p.m. Be there! Or be square.
We are Tigers Cubs Troop 1151, and you are listening to WHFR Dearborn.
The views and opinions expressed on the following pre-recorded show do not necessarily represent those of WHFR or Henry Ford College. Good afternoon. This is WHFR Dearborn. You're listening to the show called Metaphysically Speaking. I'm your host, Mike Holloway. And my special guest this month is Deb Foggio. She is an intuitive life path consultant, also owner of the Center for Integrative Well-Being. And again, she utilizes her resources as an intuitive life coach, systemic constellations facilitator. We're going to have to get into that. That's quite a mouthful. Also a writer, teacher, and speaker, and she inspires people in discovering and developing and living a life of purpose and prosperity. Deb, great to see you again. Thank you for doing the show.
It's my pleasure.
Okay, well, that's good to hear. First, to start off, something I mentioned in the introduction, what is a systemic constellations facilitator?
Systemic constellations is a healing modality that integrates body energy work with psychological and spiritual principles. So what happens is you have a question that you're posing, or you have an issue that needs healing. And in this process of working people in a setting where it's really literally like constellations, people are placed into a field. It's called the knowing field. People are placed into the knowing field, and then they respond to each other from an intuitive knowing from within to reveal what's hidden in the unconscious, the things that are keeping us from living joyful lives, from keeping us from doing the things that we desire to do. When something is hidden in the unconscious, what happens is it impacts all the decisions that we make, except we're not aware of it. So, you know, it's like we're going down the road and we say, well, I'm going to turn left. I'm going to turn left at this road. And we get to the road and we turn right. No, I'm going to turn left. So next time, next road, I'm going to turn left. And again, we turn right. And we don't know why we keep getting off path. And that is because what's in the unconscious is going to rule above and beyond whatever it is that you're consciously choosing. So systemic constellation work allows you to get at what's hidden so that you can then live your life according to what is your own destiny. Often constellation work first started literally as being a tool in family therapy. And there's a gentleman named Bert Hellinger. And Hellinger was a Catholic priest. He was also a psychotherapist. He's no longer a priest. He's an ex-priest now. But he pioneered the work in the family system. He believed that we all had a family soul. We all belong to a specific family soul. And that there are specific rules that the family soul is controlled by. Two of those rules are everybody has a right to belong, so nobody can be excluded. And then the other one is that those who have seniority come first. So those in your family that came before you, let's say they didn't complete something in their life because of some trauma that they experienced. Well, those that come after, like the grandchildren, the great-grandchildren, the great-grandchildren, may pick up whatever that issue was that they didn't complete, trying to complete it for an ancestor. It's all unconscious now. We don't know that we're doing that. And so what happens is it takes us off our own path of destiny because we're trying to finish something for grandma, great-grandpa, something that they weren't able to complete. But we're out of balance in our own lives. We're going in a direction that we shouldn't be going. So, and we're doing it, like I said, unconsciously. So what the constellation work does is it reveals that you have picked up this challenge that you're trying to complete for your grandmother, your great-grandmother, great-grandfather, or whomever, and you can't do it because they have to do that themselves. But what you can do is put the family soul back into alignment by revealing it and letting the energies move through. As what they say, when love flows freely, then we can live the lives that we're supposed to live, prosperous lives, joyous lives, lives with purpose, you know, healthy lives, all of those things. Mm-hmm. So as a facilitator, what I do is I helped people to, in the situation of us doing systemic family constellations or systemic constellations, I help them to align in that field where all the different aspects of the issue are presented. I help them to align so that love flows freely. You know, you talk about constellations, it sounds very, very complicated, but really in a situation where you're in it, it is a beautiful process that you will follow intuitively and you will thoroughly understand it when you are doing it. And the beauty of it is because it happens in what we call the knowing field, and the knowing field is the place where the infinite intelligence runs through all things. We set up a symbolic knowing field. So when it happens in the symbolic knowing field, that still is the knowing field. And so what happens is you are literally healed in that moment. You get a chance to choose whether you are going to experience your healing right now or 2 minutes or 2 days or 2 weeks or 2 months later. But the fact of the matter is once all the dynamics change in the knowing field, you are literally changed, as are the members of your family. So your family soul can go back into balance and people can start living under their own directive, consciously going where they want to go. It's really a phenomenally amazing process. And it is much more visceral, I want to say. Sometimes I'm not knocking talk therapy. Every therapy has its place. Mm-hmm. But in constellation work, the impact is so huge because you literally feel the experience. You experience it at your own personal level. So you feel more in control, or it makes more of a difference because you have a understanding that is whole body rather than just, you know, maybe mental or maybe just emotional. It's all of them put together. So it really is phenomenally amazing. And it also helps people recognize, because the work, you have to be willing. When you do systemic constellation work, you must be willing. But in your willingness, you experience those intuitive energies that just come up in the field and you're willing to express them. And when you see that what you're expressing is absolutely in alignment with truth, the kicker is that you can have that same experience out in the world if you're just willing to walk every day in an openness to receive the wisdom that's all around you. It will help direct you and guide you in the decisions that you're making. And when you're guided by the intuitive, what happens is you make better choices for yourself and you end up having a more prosperous and a more result-filled experience in life.
Mm-hmm. Now, is this something that is learned behavior, or is it something that is innate with everybody when they're born? How does this work?
Everybody has the opportunity to make the decision that they are going to, through love, trying to work out things for other people. Okay, so other people in their experience. And we just do that out of love. It just depends on how we were impacted by our ancestors and what that means for us in our growing experience. As it relates to our intuition, everybody is born with the ability to experience and utilize their intuition. You cannot connect with the universe. You cannot connect with God, however it is that you see or say your higher power, without the language of intuition, because intuition is the language that you use to connect with the divine. And literally, you know, God does not speak in words. When you are communicating with the divine, there are no words. We are people of symbols. So your intuitive language is filled with symbolism and feelings and knowing. And you have to be quiet in order to hear it. That's why meditation is so important, because it helps to align you to those muscles that are really going to listen to that intuitive communication that's within you. So no matter who we are, we have that ability. We can't be on this planet. We can't exist. We can't create without our intuitive knowing. And when we take the time to develop it, it really does enable us to experience life better, more in love, with more direction, with more understanding, because we tap into that intuitive knowing field. We tap into divine mind, infinite intelligence, call it whatever you will. And in that intelligence, in that energy, is all the wisdom of the universe, whatever it is that you need. There are no barriers to you having access to that when you allow yourself to connect in and listen to your intuition.
Mm-hmm. And how do you correct that? I mean, how do you help people correct that situation?
In constellations, it's a process. Mm-hmm. It's a process where first, as you have an intention. So you've come in, let's say, you can't keep a job. And no matter what you do, you can't keep a job. And you don't understand that. So you've come to Constellation because you feel it's something beyond you. You just can't capture whatever it is. So you sit down with a facilitator, and the facilitator then will talk to you to help you to figure out exactly what the issue is. Because sometimes, so you come in and you say, I can't keep a job, and you think that's the issue, but really it's something deeper that you haven't been able to really realize. So you sit down with the facilitator, that's me, and we talk back and forth. And just as you are guided in how you're experiencing the moment of answering the questions, I'm also listening to that intuitive, and I'm also knowing you. So I'm watching you and how you're experiencing the moment. And so things will occur to me to ask you. And eventually what will happen is what you're really seeking gets revealed. At that point, we look at what are the aspects of this issue, whatever it is. So there's a group of people that have all come together. When you come and you do group constellation work, what happens is you're called in to do it. You're called in so that, so to speak, they say, by strangers, as strangers, you call them all in so that you are going to do this work together. And you will look in their faces, and I will say, pick someone to represent this aspect. And you will look in their faces and someone will just jump out at you. There will be a resonating with you of this person as this aspect. So you'll pick them and then you will put them into the knowing field, placing them by feel. We already know what the intention is, so we're just placing them by feel. Then the next aspect and the next aspect. And then I just watch as they interact with each other. And we get to see, so that is your presenting picture. Then you have a transitional picture where you're moving from the presenting problem to the answer, and the answer is the resolution picture. So the constellation actually breaks down into three different parts. The presenting picture, which is your problem situation, and then you're transitioning through the understanding of the wisdom until you finally get to a resolution picture. And that's the thing that you want to keep in your mind when you're constellation is done. It's not what God said, it's what did the resolution picture look like? Because as you hold on to that resolution picture, the aspects, everything within you over the course of the next day or week or month will just shift into place. That's why it's so gentle. You change, you come into understanding, you're shifted, you're different. But it is this process of literally just going through that experience and holding on to your resolution picture that then changes you, and then you will do things differently. You may have done things for 20 years exactly the same way, but on that next day, you will do things differently because you have this whole understanding that is connected and just comes together in synchronicity, and your perceptions change, and thus your decisions change. And thus the way that you experience your life changes, and the way that people respond to you changes. So it's just an intuitive process. I started training in constellation over 12 years ago, and doing the work I trained over 12 years ago. And initially, all the therapists and the psychologists didn't want to say it was intuition. They just wouldn't use the word. But now we've grown and changed a lot and recognized that's what the wisdom is. It's intuitive knowing. And Hellinger lived with the Zulus for 15 years, and that's when he really shifted. He came back with this knowing that there was this wisdom, this collective consciousness and a collective unconscious, and there was a deep wisdom that was in the energy that could be revealed. And his work started to take a spiritual turn. And now much of the constellation work has expanded. So I do what's called soul essence evolving. And what we do is we take a look at, we have five bodies of consciousness. There's the you, that's us, you know, how we show up, the kind of like the personality self, the essence of who we are. And then you have a physical body of consciousness, you have an emotional body of consciousness, you have a mental body of consciousness, and you have a spiritual body of consciousness. And all of those bodies of consciousness work together. And so what we do is we take a look at how are you creating your life based on the mental, the emotional, the spiritual, and the physical aspects of you and your own consciousness. So that's a more evolved way that constellation has been presenting itself. And when you can see how your bodies of consciousness all work together, it plays out in front of you in 3D. It's quite fascinating. People, as they're representing, will say things that there's no way for them to know, but they're just feeling it, so they're willing to say it. And then what you see is how maybe your emotional body was traumatized and your physical body or your mental body or both of them picked up the slack. And that's why your perceptions changed and why you did things differently after a trauma rather than before a trauma. And then the whole idea then is to redistribute the energy so that all of your bodies of consciousness can work together, and then you'll be more in balance. There are many ways to apply constellation work, many, many ways. I use it in all of my classes. It lets people know from an unconscious perspective, where do I really stand on any particular issue, you know? And when our conscious mm-hmm. mind and our unconscious mind are aligned, then we're going to create what it is that we want. When they're not, then we're going to walk in circles until we get them both aligned to
yeah, hopefully, what anyway, it is we yeah. want. So people must have some tremendous breakthroughs when they go through this, don't they?
Oh, they do. Mm-hmm. They really do. It's highly emotional work sometimes. Sometimes it's extremely joyful. Mm-hmm. So much so that we will laugh. It just depends on who's doing the work. But when it happens, representatives are just representing, you know, they're willing. So if you have an aspect of yourself that's extremely sad that you have not let yourself experience, and you had a trauma that really changed your life, as the representative is experiencing what's in the field, and then they're expressing what that is, they may break down and cry like a baby. And it's not them, you know, it's not them in their life. It is them representing an aspect of you. And when they do that, still the emotion releases in the field. And even though you're sitting in the chair watching this unfold, you're going to be touched emotionally, but you're going to feel that as if you have had the experience yourself. All kinds of emotions can be expressed in that. We can also experience the consciousness of those individuals who have passed on. So maybe a grandmother or a great-grandmother, a mother or father that have crossed over, their energy will still show up in the field to express something that was incomplete. Sometimes we get facts about the family that we had no idea consciously, but mm-hmm. as it's revealed in the constellation, you go back and check these things. It's like, oh my gosh, that really did happen. Because the field is connected to the infinite intelligence that knows all things. And right. it's just a question of getting the energies aligned so mm-hmm. that love will flow freely. So it's quite fascinating.
Yeah, just tapping into that. Mm-hmm. Quickly, I just want to remind everybody that this is WHFR.FM, the station making waves. This show is Metaphysically Speaking. I'm your host, Mike Holloway. This month, my special guest is Deb Foggio. She is an intuitive life path consultant and owner of the Center for Integrative Well-Being, among many other things that we covered. But one of the things we want to get to tonight is understanding the language of emotions. What do you mean by that?
Our emotions get such a bad rap in this country, especially in Western society. Because we have been taught that our emotions are not a good thing. We have been taught to repress our emotions. We have been taught that it's politically incorrect to
yes.
express yourself and how the way that you feel. And depending on whether you are male or female, it is you've been taught that it's unacceptable as a male to express certain emotions. And also, as a female, it's unacceptable to express certain emotions. So what that does is it puts us at a deficit for being able to navigate in life, because our emotions are messengers that tell us where we are in our development, or where we are in a moment in time, or where we are in our understanding of situations. Each emotion has a purpose. And that purpose arises when it's called for, to keep us aligned with awareness of what's going on and to inform us of what to do next. And in this country, we are not open to experiencing emotions. And that's why we see such imbalances in people showing up raging, because they didn't have an opportunity, or they weren't allowed to express themselves when it first came up, when they first started to have an experience. There's three levels of experiencing emotions. So one is the free-flowing level, and that's when, you know, you're feeling something and you acknowledge it. You let yourself acknowledge it. I'm sad, or I'm happy, or I'm joyful, or I'm depressed, or, you know, you're just willing to acknowledge it. Mm-hmm. Then there's the mood state. And the mood state, it comes up when you haven't allowed yourself to express it when it first came up, when you've been holding back. And so there's a greater level of intensity in the mood state. Then you have the raging river state, and that's when you're totally out of balance and mm-hmm. you are showing up in great levels of intensity that's upsetting to you and, you know, maybe upsetting to others. And once you've hit that raging river state, your whole system is out of balance. Your level of perception is out of balance, and it's really not required. Emotions are natural, and they're great gifts because they let us know what's going on with us. And when we acknowledge them, it gives us information and tells us what we need to do next. Mm-hmm. Emotions are quite the gift.
Mm-hmm. And by stifling that, it helps repress us, do you believe? By stifling your emotions, not really being open and honest about what you really feel or think?
It does so many things. It impacts our health. It impacts our ability to make good decisions. It impacts our ability to be in good relationships with other people. It impacts our ability to be able to discern the truth of what's going on in any situation. So it's very important to be in touch with how you feel. It's like any other tool.
Right. But there again, isn't it a problem with some people, I would think most people, to really be honest with themselves and others?
We're
because
not born that
they
way.
Don't want to.
We're not born that way.
We're not?
We're
that's
taught.
That's learned
Yeah,
behavior.
We're taught. We are absolutely taught, depending on what our situation or our culture. Mm-hmm. Like in this country, And things are changing. So these are broad generalizations, and things are changing, but it's still fact. You know, men have been taught that it's improper to cry.
Right, yes.
That you're not supposed to cry. But sadness is a release. When you allow yourself to just, you're sitting in a room and you're just feeling a certain way and you go, that's your sadness. That's your sadness working for you. And it's releasing, you know, whatever sadness or pressure that you might be feeling from something that didn't turn out right. That's your sadness in its free flowing form. So if you allow yourself to connect with that and just express yourself, it's a simple sigh. What it does is it clears the space now for new data to come in, for you to see things differently. You've released the tension that was in the body, you know, and that you were holding on to, or the ideas that were, you know, didn't work for you or scary for you or whatever. It allowed you to just release that, clear the space, and now be open to new ideas, you know, perceiving something that you didn't before because you were so locked into, you know, the sadness and the intensity of it. Something as simple as that, your sadness, works to clarify your vision, hit the reset button, see things differently. So men need to release, and when they don't, they move from the free-flowing sadness into the mood state, which is much more intense, and then it amplifies other emotions. And then finally, when you get to the raging river state, you're just out of control.
Mm-hmm. That's when you've totally lost it at that point.
You have in some capacity. And there's nothing that you can do about it except really express it to get it released so that new data can come in. So...
Well, once you get to that point, how can you release it in a positive manner? I mean, if you've gotten to a certain point where it's...
There are plenty of ways where you're so sad. You can journal.
Mm-hmm.
When people get into emotional situations and they're intense and they haven't had I call it a churning. So they're churning because they've experienced something and they don't know what to do with it, but they're chock full of tension. It might be anger, it might be sadness, it might be depression, it might be grief, it might be any number of things. We communicate in one of two ways. You're either somebody who internalizes, and that means that you turn those emotions on yourself, and that's extremely, you know, painful because you're now browbeating yourself and you're saying that you're an awful person or blah, 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 or whatever you don't deserve, yada, yada, yada. You turn on yourself, or you externalize it and you express those things, but you express them in such a way where you dump your stuff into somebody else's lap, right?
And they don't like that usually.
Exactly. So what you want to do is find a way to be able to, when you get to a certain place, you know, there are many tools that you can use. But you might be able to just write what it is that you're feeling. And since you're writing yourself, you don't have to be politically correct. Nobody else is going to see what you've written.
Right.
You can write that so-and-so is a dumb blah, blah, blah,
yeah,
SOB,
right.
Blah,
fill
blah,
in
blah,
the
blah.
Blanks, yeah, right.
But it's just to get the release out. It's not even that you really mean that, but you do need to release it. You've written it on paper. Now you take that paper and you tear it up and throw it in the garbage. Nobody's ever going to see that, but you've allowed the space to clear for yourself so that you can have new data come in and help you assess things in a more healed kind of way. A simple conversation with a friend, not where you're venting in wildness, but, you know, you have a good friend that really you trust and that understands you and you understand them. And so you can say, listen, you know, sometimes we do this. I need to vent or I need to work through something. And then you talk to them, releasing, knowing that they're never going to repeat it. They're never going to bring it up again.
Well, you must have to really trust that person, though.
That's true. You do. You have to trust that person. But it's really required. It is really required. And for me personally now, either way, people do what works for them.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I'm not a person who's going to internalize yeah. my stuff.
You don't seem to be the type to do that. I agree with that.
I'm going to find. I'm going to journal, mm-hmm. or I'm going to find a friend that I can talk to, or I'm going to sit down and meditate, and I will have a conversation with God, mm-hmm. and just vent and do whatever in my own private space alone. I may actually literally talk, yell, holler, and scream. The same effect is going to happen. I'm going to get a clearing. Once that clearing right. happens and I calm down energetically now, I'm more open to other information that will help me see the situation more clearly and then take action that will help resolve whatever I'm going through in a way that's going to be win-win for others, myself and for others, because that's what we all want. When we're in a dispute or a disagreement with someone, we want everyone, when we're in love, when we're healed, we want everyone to walk away feeling like they got something that they needed, that they were heard, and that they have had input in the resolution, whatever it was. So having an experience where it's win-win for everybody is the best that you can hope for, and doing that in a way where people can be heard and experienced and their expressions acknowledged helps to lead to better communication and better navigation in the world of relationships.
Mm-hmm. Well, you mentioned a friend. Could it be somebody in your family as well? Anybody that you trust that you could really let yourself go, or should it be a friend as opposed to maybe there's something that you want to express about a certain family member and you don't want to actually say it to another family member? Is that something that you might want to watch?
Absolutely. You want to consider that. For sure, you want to pick someone. And I promise you, there aren't 25 people out there that you're going to trust to the level
right.
of doing that,
right? You're lucky if you can find one, quite frankly. But, I mean, they're out there, I know, but not easy sometimes.
You know, but it's the trust factor is very important. It doesn't matter if it is friend or family, as long as there's trust factor. And my thing is, even if you have an issue with that person that you trust so much, if you are really aware of your emotions and what you're experiencing, if you can get to the root of what it is that is upsetting to you, you can communicate that with another trusted beloved. You can communicate that to them in a way that will open up a conversation for a real exchange of data and emotions. So just because we're at odds with someone doesn't mean we can't respectfully honor them, even when we are on different sides of an argument. We can honor them by saying, look, I have an issue, and I was triggered when you said so and so and so and so. It's all in your languaging and how you communicate, you know, what you were experiencing. And it's also in really working at not assuming what someone else was thinking or what they meant. If you don't know, it's simple to just say, you know, I had a concern about this. What did you mean by this? I got triggered by it. What did you mean by it? And then be able to work that out. If you are open and willing and you address someone in that way, there's a likelihood that they will give you an answer. And if they don't, then you know that they're just not ready to express it, and you don't take it personally. But you will feel good about yourself because you made the effort to try and get to the bottom of it or to work things out. And maybe it might take a week or 10 days or 2 weeks before it can be revisited. But at least it's not stockpiled within you. You're not holding on to it. You've done something toward a resolution, and you know that there will be a time when you will be able to address it later. These are just simple things if we will take the time to feel our emotions and then be willing to express them in ways where we recognize other people have emotions as well, and that we're going to be open to just sharing how we feel and see what comes out of that.
Mm-hmm. And do you feel honesty is the core emotion?
No.
No? What is the core emotion? Or is there love? Okay.
Love. Absolutely.
That's a good one.
Yeah, absolutely. It's our core emotion. But we don't always understand it.
Well, that's for sure.
And we don't always let it flow freely. All emotions are important. All emotions are important because they help us to get to the root of whatever it is that's out of balance. So we have to love and appreciate it. You know, in this country, in this culture, fear has such a bad rap. Fear is like the ultimate mega awful emotion that's out there. But I want to say to people, fear is your friend. Fear is your friend. Because what fear does is it makes you stop. When you're afraid, when all of a sudden something hits you, it makes you stop. It says stop, and it says listen. Something in your field is not right. Listen. And as you listen, you begin to focus. And as you focus, your intuition kicks in. And when your intuition kicks in, it tells you what to do. Mm-hmm. How to get around or what to say or whatever. So you see, fear really keeps you safe in a way that is quite powerful and useful. So when fear kicks up, it's saying, stop, listen, focus. So you want to pay attention. You have to be able to acknowledge your fear and not just have some broad generalization that I'm never supposed to feel fear or fear is something awful. Fear helps to keep you safe. So you want to make sure that you acknowledge it and don't give it a bad rap.
Mm-hmm. It can be your friend, right?
It can be your friend. Fear is your friend.
Right. Once again, I just want to remind everybody that you are listening to WHFR.FM, the station making waves. This show is Metaphysically Speaking. I'm your host, Mike Holloway. My special guest this month is Deb Foggio. She is an intuitive life path consultant, also owner of the Center for Integrative Well-Being. And when you talk about emotions and somebody comes to you and they feel maybe they're stifled or whatever, how do you start to break that log jam with that other person?
Well, the first thing you have to do is see how in touch they are with how they feel. Mm-hmm. Because like I've told you, we've been taught not to feel our emotions. And the other thing is that when something happens to us in our culture, it is unacceptable to shut down and not do anything. So what happens is things happen to us. We kick those feelings to the curb, we push them down deep within, and then we get up and we start moving as if nothing happened. But the truth of it is, at that point, you've gone from being in a healthy mode to being in a survivor mode. And in a survivor mode, you are not in touch with your feelings. You are not in touch with anything that might make you feel the trauma that you went through. And you push it down because at the time, you couldn't deal with the trauma, whatever it was. So you push it down, trying to hide it, but the survivor self is taking charge now, and it literally will try to have you live your life without feeling anything, because any feeling might open the door up to that trauma experience. And the healthy self doesn't have enough. That's why you got split in the first place. It doesn't have enough data, enough support, enough whatever, so that you can function to deal with the trauma, experience it, get the data out of it, and then release it so you can move on. So we go into our survivor self. And if you look at most people that are functioning in this world, many of them are just in survival mode. They're just surviving.
Mm-hmm, right.
And that wasn't the intention. When you're surviving, you're not accessing your emotions.
Right. Well, you're not really even living.
Exactly. You're just doing whatever you have to do to get to the next moment. Mm-hmm. If you're not feeling, you're not living in the natural balance of who you are as a person. And that's going to take all of the beautiful pluses out of a life experience that you can have. You know, to experience the beauty of something is to feel the emotion of joy or happiness. So if you're not allowing yourself to feel, then you're not going to really feel anything or experience anything in life in the fullness of what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Not even the magnificence of who you are. because you don't have time, because right. you can't be bothered with that, because you have to get up and I got to pay my bills, so I got to get up and I got to go to work and blah, 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 and this and that. And you cannot access the deep creative energy and wisdom within you without your emotion. Your passion is the thing that allows you to move through the world, answer all the questions, do all the things that are necessary for you to make your purpose manifest. So if you're not willing to feel your feelings, you can't access your passion. You're going to shut your intuition down. And you need your intuition to create, period. So emotions serve us on so many levels. If let's say there's a situation where you're going to, you've planned this party for your teenager, and it's a Saturday morning, you know, all day fest or whatever, and everybody's coming at maybe noon, you know, so it's a big barbecue, and you wake up and you look at your clock and it's blinking, and you realize the electricity went out, so mm-hmm. now you don't know what time it is,
right?
So now you've awakened and you realize you were supposed to get up at 6. Now it is 9:30. The party is at noon. You got to jump up, do whatever you're going to do. Now you realize the electricity went out. Your kitchen is not going to work because all of your kitchen is electrical. So all the stuff that you had to do to prepare was this and that. You jumped in the shower, but you realized that your hair dryer now runs by electricity. You know, right. the hot water all runs out. Okay, so you're going to now just go order something from a restaurant. You hop in your car, and now you realize your garage door won't open because everything's run by electricity. And you now get a wrench, and you try to, you know, open the door up, and it's not working, and then you bang on it. Now you got grease all over your clothes. And so it's this whole set of scenarios that unfold. So many stresses that you are experiencing, and if you're not in touch with your emotions, if you can't break down and just cry for a moment or just sigh for a moment or just say holy whatever a moment, you will not allow yourself the other emotions that will then say go to your neighbor's house, see if they'll drive you to the store, make phone calls to see if your friends can kick in and do so and so and so and so, order in, do whatever, because you know, so you've got all of these emotions that are all working together. Without that huge sigh or that holy whatever, that release, you don't put yourself in a position to let the other emotions bring in options, ideas where you can make this day work.
Right.
But you have to be willing then to access all of those emotions, the first one being the release that comes from that scenario. And we go through this all the time. You know, we work in a culture where it's always hurry up, hurry up, hurry up, more, 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 faster, 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 without any support. And we get all stressed out. And that's a compilation of a whole lot of emotions now being stuck. And if we can't breathe, if we can't step away, if we can't release, have a moment, stop, then we block all the ideas that would be extremely creative and make any situation work. So we have an intensity of people that are now out. How many shootings have we had in the last
few days, yes.
Right? Because people are not aligned with feeling their emotions. We are not an accepting culture that welcomes people to share how they're feeling without judgment.
Right.
Of, you know, whatever it is that's going on. And if we would do these things, we wouldn't see such tremendous buildups where people now feel that they only have one way to resolve this powerful energy of upset and chaos within them. They explode. If we would be accepting, starting with little children, if a child needs to cry, Let it cry. It's crying for a reason. It'll stop crying, and then it will be able to resolve on its own whatever it was going through. I just floors me when, especially when somebody will shake a kid or reprimand a kid and then tell them, stop crying. We just made them cry. Let them release what they feel. Their feelings were hurt. They don't understand. Maybe they're scared or, you know, whatever. But if they are allowed to express their emotion, there will be something else more healing that will come up and help redirect them as to what to do in that situation. So we're constantly telling people, don't feel. And there are ramifications for that. And we're starting to experience that in our culture, in our world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I wanted to ask you about. How do you, you say that it's learned behavior. How do you start teaching that to children to express themselves and not be afraid to do so?
It's acceptance.
Mm-hmm.
And it's teaching them how to express. Just because a child expresses something inappropriately doesn't mean that you don't teach them to keep expressing, but just do it in a way that's respectful to others, right? If I'm angry, I need to be able to say I'm angry, and maybe with a, you know, a voice, I'm really angry. Maybe I need to ball up my fists, or, you know, I need to just tense up my body or whatever. I don't need to punch somebody else because I'm angry. And that's, you know, sometimes children will do that. So you don't tell them, don't feel the emotion. You're not supposed to hit anybody. You don't get angry. You do get angry. You just don't punch somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Anger is the thing that tells us our boundaries have been violated. So when people get too close to us, when, you know, we get hit, when people say things that aren't any of their business, when they're asking us questions that they shouldn't even ask because it's not appropriate, when we allow those things to come in and they get to us, our boundary has been violated. So what anger does is it expresses a feeling where people can see you're not pleased with that, or that you are expressing for them to back up. It doesn't mean they have their fist up or anything. There's an energy. We are all empathic. We all can feel the feelings of each other, you know, just because, like, I'm sitting here, you're very calm, right? And I can feel and sense that. All right, you didn't have to say I'm calm. I just look at you, or I'm sitting in your energy field, and I know that. If you were tense, I would be able to sense that. That's our empathic ability. So in a scenario where someone is angry, what that does is, if I'm on the other side of that, I know I need to step back. They don't have to say I'm angry or ball up their fists. I can feel that energy, maybe the tension in their face, or I notice the tension in their shoulders, or I just know and feel something that they're angry. Well, what they're doing is they're reestablishing their boundary. And once their boundary is reestablished, then they'll be grounded and centered, and they'll be able to say, that question is inappropriate, or don't ask me that question again, or you're standing too close to me, or whatever. But what happens in this culture is when we don't respect emotions, right? And people's boundaries have been violated, and they don't know any better, they will violate the boundary of someone else. So now it's just a continuing effect. So anger allows us to stand up and breathe, and then reestablish for ourselves some sense of boundary, at which point we can operate in a more healed and functional way. Anger also keeps people away when we're having an experience that's extremely sad and we're not ready to deal with it. Mm-hmm. So when somebody is holding on to a deep sadness and they don't want to deal with it, if you ask anything that's going to lead anywhere to them having to connect with that sadness, what you're going to see is anger. Anger is the boundary that they have established to keep you from getting to a point where that sadness could be felt or discussed. So usually underneath anger is sadness.
Mm-hmm. Because they might feel that sadness is a weakness, that is not
vulnerable.
Something. Okay, vulnerable.
Right. Mm-hmm. We're vulnerable. Something that we really aren't ready to share with the world, or we're not ready to feel or sense ourselves. So your anger keeps people away so that you don't have to deal with that. Now, anger in its free-flowing form, not an issue. Even anger with this mood state, because that's usually where people say, look, get away from me. Are you, you're getting on my nerves, or, you know, whatever. But anger in its raging river form, now that's an issue. And that's a lot of what we're experiencing now.
That's when people just explode and are not responsible for their actions
anymore. Well, they're always responsible.
Well, yes, but they just, but they, like you said, they're raging. Right.
Exactly.
Just raging and... Exactly. Going off the deep end, so to speak.
So we need to learn about our emotions, because then if we did, then we would know when we're off kilter. We would know mm-hmm. when we're off course. We would know that the things, the perspective that we have is out of alignment. So anger is something that we all require, because we need sound boundaries in able to be functioning in a world with other people. Mm-hmm. And boundaries need to be respected. Very important. Right.
Well, what would you say to a parent that tries to use emotions to control their children, and that's, again, a learned behavior? What would you say to parents that do that on a regular basis?
They are making their child ineffective in a world where they need to be able to stand on their own two feet, and where they need to be solid in who they are. And, you know, human beings come into conscious awareness at different times in their lives. But we're in a, so now things are better than they used to be, because we are at least talking about it. The fact that your parent did this thing to you can be acknowledged. But if it's wrong, and if it created trauma for you, then it's not okay to do it just because it's tradition. We have always the opportunity to think about what we're doing. We might be caught up in a trauma, so no judgment is required, but we're always going to be responsible for whatever we've done. So I would say to parents, if you can just accept and acknowledge your child as expressing the way that they are, and then help them to do it better, correct them by teaching them rather than punishing them, help them to get in touch with how they feel, be able to speak that and acknowledge that. There are no good or bad emotions. There are just emotions. But once right. again, we've been taught love is good, joy is good. Nobody can maintain joy 24/7.
Mm-hmm.
And joy is not something that you just click on and off. Joy is birthed from within, when your life is in sync with all the good of the universe around you, and when you recognize that.
Right.
So nobody is going to live in joy 24/7. That's not how it works. And even metaphysically based people, or people who are aware in their spirituality, sometimes get confused that they're supposed to be joyful all the time. Like that's the mecca of you've arrived. That's not how it works. Joy comes from within. It births naturally from within. It's different than happiness. Happiness is a state that you can declare. I got a candy bar, I'm happy. You know,
that's how I feel when I have a candy bar. I don't know about other people, but that works for me.
You know, but joy literally births. It catches you sometimes by surprise. You feel so overwhelmed in gratitude and love for what's going on in your life, and you may cry as a result of that. It's a natural expression of release, of just the joy of being.
Right.
So even those that are on, in quotes, the path to enlightenment and truth have to recognize that each emotion has a purpose, and it has a mission, and it has a message. And you need to be clear on it, because you can put yourself into a whole place of judgment where I'm not joyful all the time and I get mad and angry. As a human being, that's what's going to happen, because right. it's a part of the process of creation even.
Right.
What you do with it is what tells you where you're at and your level of development spiritually and beyond.
Mm-hmm. Now, real quickly. If people wanted to get in touch with you, how could they do so? If you want to tell them about the Center for Integrative Well-Being or whatever you want to mention?
Well, great. Well, number one, we're doing a workshop.
Okay.
On the 23rd, the 24th, and the 25th of June. And the name of it is Healing Your Emotional Quagmire.
Okay. Kind of fits in with what we're doing
it
tonight.
Does.
Talking about.
So it's
this afternoon.
It's all about establishing for yourself where you're at, understanding your emotions, coming into awareness that you may be stuck in some emotion that is literally hijacked your life and you don't know what to do with it. I have had clients who come in and say, I am always angry. I am always angry no matter what, and I don't want to be angry. Well, it means that, number one, you have to come into understanding about what anger is, and then you have to allow yourself to experience the other levels of emotions that, you know, are there within you. They're natural. They're going to be there. So the workshop is to help people come into awareness and to heal, you know, whatever aspect they may be stuck in, or maybe to expand, you know, into a greater creative level because, you know, they are very aware, but they just don't know how to channel things so that they work to their greatest benefit. So we do systemic constellation work in the workshop as well. So it will be a wonderful experience. It's going to be Friday night from 7 to 10, and then Saturday 9:30 to 5:30, and Sunday 9:30 to 5:30. And you can go on the website and read about it. And my website is simple. It's www.debfoggio.com. Debfoggio.com. And if you just click on the center, and it will tell you the classes and the workshops that we do. We do systemic constellation work every second and fourth Friday of the month. It's called Soul Essence Evolving. So you'll find that on the website. And it's a nice way to get a taste of constellation work because it's an intro session, but we do the work. We do very heavy and deep work. You know, it's a 3-hour workshop, and it's quite profound. And it's a good way to just have the experience. And I say to people, the more that you come in and you do the constellation work representing for other people, you're going to heal the dynamics that are within yourself, because you get chosen to represent an aspect of something because that aspect lives within you, either balanced or not balanced. So when you go through the constellation work, you're going to have some awarenesses and ahas for yourself, as well as serving the person who is sitting in the chair that the constellation is about. So we do that every second and fourth Friday of the month. It's from 7 to 10, and you can go on the website and you can see that. I'm very excited about the Healing Your Emotional Quagmire workshop because people can literally get a handle on their lives more readily and more quickly than they can imagine when they understand what the emotions are and how to work them. And so it's going to be a very nice process of both of those things.
Right.
Hear the emotions. Let's figure out what's not working for you on a deep unconscious level as well as a conscious level. And then let's proceed forward and see how you can now bring in a whole resource of all your emotions to put you where you want to be on your path. You can also call me. My phone number is 248-702-7064, 248-702-7064. And then my center is in Farmington Hills.
Right, and that's a new place that I know you've moved it to a new place, and you're very happy, you told me, new space.
I am very happy. It has, you know, one thing about the center is no matter where you're at on your journey, you are totally accepted when you walk into my space. I love every human being because each human being is an expression of God. God's own unique way. And wherever you are on your journey, that's where you're supposed to be. So when you come to my center As far as I'm concerned, you've shown up, number one, to be accepted. Number two, there's a purpose. There's work for you, not just for you, but for anybody else that's at the center at the same time. People come together in synchronicities to move through the challenges that they're experiencing. And when they are willing and in non-resistance, amazing things can happen. So it's one of the things that I love about my place. When people walk in the door, they feel that. And often I get people exhaling when they walk in.
Yes, they feel they can breathe again, right?
They do, just by walking in the door, and I really love that.
Well, Deb, thank you very much for being here. As always, fascinating, and I really appreciate all the information you provided with us, and thank you once again for being here.
It's my pleasure, and I'm so glad that you have this show to emphasize these things that are being talked about more now than ever before, and that's a good thing, and we want to pique people's interest and have them follow their heart, and if they do that, they'll go in a direction where they'll find the data that will make them happy.
Great. Thank you very much once again. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, I'm back, and I just want to thank my guest for this month, Deb Foggio. She is an intuitive life path consultant, also owner of the Center for Integrative Well-Being. And, I mean, she's many other things, a writer, teacher, speaker, just a fantastic lady. And I really appreciate the fact that she was able to be on the show this month and for providing us information in regards to understanding the language of emotions. So I thank Deb quite a bit for being on the show this month. I also want to thank my producer, Brandon McKay, and be sure to join me for another edition of Metaphysically Speaking on the third Tuesday of next month. With that being said, I want to thank everybody for listening, and have a great day, everybody.
What's up, it's your girl Nique Love Rhodes, and you are listening to WHFR Dearborn.
You don't have to convince me.